hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
It's never over until you cross that finish line. About 9 months ago, I was heartbroken over not getting the opportunity to race the Boston Marathon, and it really hurt quite a bit. And I just kept telling myself that there's going to be delayed gratification and a moment down the road that would make up for it. And I've dreamed of a moment like this since I was a little girl. And so this means a lot to me, to my family, and hopefully inspires the next generation of American women.
That's an emotional, teary-eyed Shalane Flanagan, the first American woman to win the New York City Marathon in 40 years. Shalane crossed the finish line Sunday in 2 hours, 26 minutes, and 53 seconds. Kenya's three-time defending race champion, Mary Keitany, finished second among the women, more than a minute behind Flanagan, and Ethiopia's Mamitu Daska was third. Meanwhile, Kenya's Jeffrey Kamwar was the overall winner in New York, clocking 2 hours, 10 minutes, and 53 seconds. Fellow Kenyan Wilson Kipsang, the former world record holder at the marathon distance, finished just 3 seconds back, and two-time Boston Marathon champion Lelisa Desisa of Ethiopia was third. But the loudest cheers in New York City were for Shalane Flanagan. The 36-year-old Flanagan holds the American record at several women's distances, and she won a silver medal in the women's 10,000 meters race at the 2008 Olympics in Beijing. But this was clearly her biggest marathon title. And as she ran towards the finish line in New York's Central Park, Shalane Flanagan says she had an attitude of gratitude.
A lot of work just went into this one moment. And in those final miles, I absolutely was thinking of the people who've helped me be in this position. Your roadrunners for putting on a fantastic race and making such an incredible day for all of us. My family and my sponsors. And I was thinking of Meb, and I was thinking of how I wanted to make him proud today. And I think I did.
I think you did too, Shalane. The athlete she's referring to, Meb Keflezighi, is the only man in history to win an Olympic medal in the marathon, as well as titles at the New York and Boston marathons. The 42-year-old Keflezighi finished 11th overall Sunday in New York in what he says was his final marathon. Born in Eritrea, Meb became a U.S. citizen in 1987. He draped himself in an American flag at the post-race news conference after collapsing at the finish line. Keflezighi says the race, which took place 5 days after a deadly terrorist attack in New York, made people appreciate life and showed the resilience of New York City. The marathon course was lined with heavy security and thousands of spectators. And these New York City marathon fans say they felt safe.
No, it's certainly not like this in Ohio. I'd say that, well, for one, makes me feel very safe, you know, knowing that there are so many watchful eyes out there, so many people people are willing to put their lives at risk to make sure that our lives are safe. You know, eyes are open, especially after the events that took place not too long ago. This is how we capitalize. This is New York.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a lot of security here. I haven't been in any. This is the first time I'm coming to one of these events. There's secure. I felt fine running around here.
Yes, I feel very safe. I come here every Sunday to Central Park, and I'm not letting anything deter me. Every week, I get up early, I take a walk, and enjoy the beautiful day.
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from.
Africa, I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Thanks, James. Now let's go to Casablanca, where Moroccan football fans had reason to cheer over the weekend. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as more African sports news. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. Moroccan club Wydad Casablanca secured a first African Champions League title in 25 years as Walid El Kati's second half goal secured a 1-0 win over record 8-time winners Al Ahly on Saturday. Wydad won the tie 2-1 on aggregates to end their long wait for a second win in Africa's elite club competition, with victory coming in front of their rancorous home supporters who booed every touch of the ball from Ahly players. In rugby news, Kenyan rugby has suffered yet another loss following the death of Kenyan Simba player Mike Okumbi on Saturday night. Mike Okumbi, together with his wife Mary Ann Wombi, were attending a friend's party when the wife took a knife and stabbed him on the left side of his chest following a disagreement. Police confirmed that the Simba striker was rushed to a hospital but pronounced dead on arrival. Police are looking for the wife, who fled immediately after the crime. In basketball news, Mali's women and Nigeria's men made history after winning the first ever edition of the FIBA 3x3 African Cup, which took place in Lomé, Togo, which ended on Sunday. Mali had a perfect 6-0 record, beating Nigeria in the 12-11 thriller, where Mali top scorer Djineba Ndiaye had a game high of 5 points. However, Nigeria's basketball senior men national team, the Tigers, defeated Congo by 21 points to 9 to pick the men's title. Azoma Dike won the Most Valuable Player award, beating Ivory Coast Sisiane Taure and Eli of Madagascar. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
This is Dikeme Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America, oh, keep on the sunny side.
Turning to tennis, American Jack Sock is the surprise winner of the Paris Masters tournament. The 25-year-old Sock dropped the first set to the Serbian Filip Krajinovic, but rallied to win the next two sets on Sunday. The final score from the French capital, 5-7, 6-4, and 6-1. Sock was seeded 16th at the start of the Paris Masters. With the title, Jack rises to number 9 in the rankings, and he'll end the year as the highest-ranked American player. Sock also qualified for the season-ending ATP Finals in London. Talk to us, Jack!
It definitely hasn't soaked in yet. I don't know when it will, but, you know, right now I want to get through these interviews and go enjoy it with my team, if I'm just being honest. You know, they've been with me through everything. Like I said, my first trip with my girlfriend, so this is extra special. And my family's back home supporting, you know, obviously like crazy. So I'm excited to get in there and see them and get on my phone and talk to my family and just enjoy it with everyone.
I'm sure Jack Sock will also enjoy the first place prize money in Paris, about $991,000. Sock won two medals at last year's Rio Olympics in Brazil, a gold in mixed doubles and a bronze in doubles. But this one in Paris was the biggest tournament win of his career. Sock has this to say about coming back in the final in Paris.
Something I worked on a lot in the offseason last year. You know, I'd be lying if I said 18 months ago I'd be, you know, mentally prepared to come through and get through the matches like this. You know, I probably wasn't. So something I worked really hard towards. Obviously, you know, when you put your nose down and keep fighting, things like this can happen where you're down. I think I was down 2 match points in my first match and, you know, now standing here with the trophy. So crazy things can happen, and that's sports for you, and that's why we play.
Jack Sock says he was planning to play some golf with his friend and fellow American tennis player John Isner, but now he'll go to London.
I'm so glad to win. I had a golf trip planned with Isner next weekend, actually, at Augusta, which would have been pretty special. But, you know, I look forward to seeing him at his wedding in a couple months. I wish him and I could have played today, you know, in the final and enjoyed the special moment. But, yeah, to add another week onto the season and keep competing and playing tennis, obviously what we love to do, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun.
In London, Jack Sock will play against the top 8th-ranked players in the world at the season-ending ATP Finals, which begin November 12th at the O2 Arena in the British capital. Topping the list are Rafael Nadal of Spain and Roger Federer of Switzerland, who each won 2 Grand Slam titles this year. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side.
Voice of America. I heard it for some America, calling on my way. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. In the Major League Soccer playoffs, four clubs remain in contention for the trophy, including the defending champion, Seattle Sounders. The Sounders eliminated the Vancouver Whitecaps by a 2-0 aggregate in the playoffs. They'll next play the Houston Dynamo in a two-leg Western Conference final. The first leg kicks off on November 21st in Houston, Texas. In the Eastern Conference final, Toronto FC will face the Columbus Crew. The first leg in that series kicks off on November 21st in Columbus, Ohio. In a related story, Washington Post soccer writer Stephen Goff has picked Seattle Sounders striker Clint Dempsey for the MLS Comeback Player of the Year Award. The American star Dempsey overcame a heart ailment that threatened to end his career. Clint Dempsey had 12 goals and 5 assists for the Sounders this season. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you, and happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world?
Well, we heard about her at the top of the show, and it is certainly a happy Monday for her, Shalane Flanagan, first American woman to win the New York City Marathon in 40 years. Mm. And not only did she win, she won in the second fastest marathon time by an American woman ever in 2 hours, 26 minutes, 53 seconds. And not only was it her first marathon win ever, it was, right here on her home soil. So a lot to be quite proud of for her. First world marathon that she's ever won. So pretty amazing stuff. But video circulating on social media shows the moment that she crosses the finish line, lifts her arms in victory, and immediately runs to the side of the course to hug her friends and family. There are other videos that show moments after that she's wrapped in the American flag in tears of joy after this amazing win. And we saw a lot of social media from Shalane Flanagan herself. She took to her social media to celebrate the big win. She's very active on social media, but I would say that Instagram is her medium of choice because she had quite a lot of Instagram posts up, several photos throughout this big day. One shows her holding an American flag at the end of the race with the caption, "We did it, hashtag USA." Similar to that tweet that she sent out, a tweet of that photo, she wrote, "I love my country." So a lot of strong American feelings winning it on her home soil. Another photo showing her hours after the race wearing her champion gold medal. She writes, "It takes a village to make a dream a reality," and she thanks her running club, the Bowerman Track Club, and her coaches Jerry and Pascal, saying that she could not have done this alone. It took a lot of effort to get her to this point. And another photo posted just this morning, Sonny, of the moment that she crossed the finish line. She captions the photo, "It really happened, pure joy." And then I love this hashtag, hashtag I didn't sleep last night. I think she's still got that adrenaline flowing through her veins after that big win on Sunday. I don't blame her for not getting much sleep and being so excited about this.
Well, don't they call New York the city that never sleeps?
It is. It's the city that never sleeps. And so the New York City Marathon winner, of course, not going to get much sleep. Now, Flanagan's also making news because she says that this could be her last marathon, especially after achieving her dream of winning the New York City Marathon. And she may have gotten some advice on this topic, Sonny, because in a photo that she posted to Instagram at the pre-race technical meeting, she says she has the best seat in the house, and that's because in that photo she is sitting next to none other than Meb Keflezighi running the final marathon of his career. Meb came in 11th in his final competitive marathon, finishing the race amid cheers from the crowd. It was a really nice scene at the end there. We saw some nice video on social media of that moment when he crossed the finish line. But Sonny, even though this is Meb's last competitive marathon, he is not done running, because just this morning, Meb posted that he'll be running the 500 Festival Half Marathon in Indiana in May. And the reason why it's called the 500 Festival Half Marathon is because it's linked to the Indianapolis 500 auto race. So even though Meb is retired from marathoning, he's not done running competitively. He's going to be at that half marathon in May. So we'll see if he continues to take the track, maybe not for the full 26.2 miles, but at least for 13.1.
And Meb did get a shout out on the show earlier from Shalane Flanagan. She said that she thought Meb would be proud of her for her New York City Marathon title. And I would think Meb is quite proud of Shalane Flanagan.
I think so. I saw on Meb's Twitter account, it wasn't a tweet from him, but it was from his team. And they said that he would surely be excited to see that she won and was cheering her on. So certainly is very proud of his fellow American.
And also some cheers in Houston, Texas, perhaps, Andrew?
Yes, big cheers from an estimated 1 million people that turned out on Friday to celebrate the Houston Astros and their first ever World Series title. We talked about this on Friday. There were estimates of about 500,000, and they doubled that. Lots of great scenes, lots of excitement from fans. And one viral video that showed not just the teamwork of the Houston Astros, but the teamwork of their fans. This viral video shows that a number of fans were gathered along the side of a parking garage that goes up about 12 stories tall. A woman on the upper levels drops her baseball hat, and the Good Samaritan fans throw the hat up one level. They catch it. They throw it up another level. It's kind of like a ladder up the chain, and eventually the woman gets her hat back. So, again, showing the fans can even work well as a team and do great things as part of their teamwork. Meanwhile, a sad group for the Major League Baseball of Major League Baseball teams grows smaller by one. There were 8 teams that had never won a World Series. Now, with the Houston Astros winning, there are 7 teams. The Texas Rangers, their fellow Texas baseball team, have never won, followed by the Washington Nationals, going back to the days when they were the Montreal Expos, the Milwaukee Brewers, the San Diego Padres, the Seattle Mariners, Colorado Rockies, and Tampa Bay Rays. So those 7 teams have yet to win a World Series. I'm sure after the past couple years where there's been so much excitement with the Cubs and the Astros, a lot of those teams are eyeing next year and hoping they can make a deep run into the postseason.
There is always next year, right?
There is always next year, and I have no doubt those teams are already penciling in saying, we want to be playing in October.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, when we use the acronym SNF in sports, especially here in the U.S., it's widely known to mean Sunday Night Football. But the past couple weeks, Sonny, SNF has taken on a new meaning, Sunday Night Fog. Now, 2 weeks ago, during the Super Bowl 51 rematch between the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons, there was a thick fog that descended over Gillette Field, the Patriots' home stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Now, it blanketed the field, it made it hard for people on TV to see the game, and it made fans in the upper deck of the stadium hard to see the game as well. There were questions about pregame fireworks maybe causing the smoke, maybe some questions about the Patriots trying to cheat. They've had a spotty record on playing fair in the past. Well, it was a story for a couple of days, and like the fog, it dissipated. Until last night, because last night's Sunday Night Football matchup, the Miami Dolphins facing the Oakland Raiders in Miami, the same thing happened again. Miami's Hard Rock Stadium enveloped in fog. Fans are perplexed. They want to know what's causing this. Some speculating and joking that it's some kind of divine intervention surrounding the NFL protests. Fans are wondering when we're going to see the locusts and the frogs come next, if it's a series of plagues on the NFL. But a lot of fans wondering about this. Now, it's worth noting this has happened before. The 1988 so-called Fog Bowl, a division playoff between the Philadelphia Eagles and Chicago Bears in Chicago, it was blanketed in fog then, and that was actually a very famous game. But to have it happen twice in as many weeks, very confusing. No word yet from the NFL, but we're going to have to check up on that and see what's the deal with the fog.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the November 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.